Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
And the transfer of power continues upstairs on the seventh floor as Roger turns it over to Mr. Dave Schwann. Good morning.
Are you going to administer the oath of office?
I should. It's funny. This is because we used to do this much later in the broadcast, but now we do this longer because we always have a lot to talk about. But but it's hysterical because I'm like watching you like hovering over Roger, and then there's the quick get myself comfortable, do the old
switcheroony.
How's it going, buddy?
Okay. How are you?
Good.
Of quick mention, as I mentioned to Roger a few moments ago, we were talking about traffic and driving and so forth. If any of you are on the road or are about to go on the road, please do be careful. That fog is nothing to mess around with.
Is it?
There.
You know, so, when I drove,
yes, it is,
when I drove
it is
in, there was nothing.
It is thick. It is thick, especially along Lakeshore Drive, Columbus Drive, the areas, the roads that I take to get here. It's no joke. So do slow down and do be careful.
All right. There you have it.
A little bit friendly
advice. Yes,
friendly
exactly.
advice. There.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good week. You had a good week, Mr.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Schwann?
Yeah. Okay. Had a good. Even well, I did. But I have to tell you, the cloudiness until yesterday just was a kind of a bummer. It just bummed me out.
No, I'm going to tell you.
Week went fine, but I mean, it was just in terms of. Oh, here we go again. It's cloudy and dreary and gloomy, and that does it. Come on, it brings you down.
So I was in Vegas, and I thought,
oh, that's right.
That would boost me up a little bit. I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, when I got up Friday morning in my hotel room, and you know, you just push a button and the curtains open at this point when you're in Vegas. I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be sunny. It was the temperature that it was here. and cloudy and rainy and depressing. And I thought, this is something that is supposed to perk you up. The In-N-Out Burger did for a little while when I first landed. I literally had our car service take. That's what I always do. I'm like, okay, take us to the drive-thru first for In-N-Out. And you know what? And it was great. It was nice. You know, people go, oh, you're in Vegas. Oh, you're just screwing around. You're doing whatever. We get dropped off at the hotel and we're working a conference where we were one of the keynote speakers. I was, and you don't do anything. You don't leave the hotel until you go back to the airport, for the most part, because you can get from one hotel to another really through the walkways and everything like that. And so, had some great meals with some great people, but for the most part, you're kind of stuck inside, and it was just gloomy and crappy.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So, you know, you gotta find ways to perk it up a little bit and watch some summer movies or today we spend so much time. We had to take advantage of today, and we spent the whole afternoon after I landed outside, and we did some outside work and put away the Christmas stuff and cleaned out the garage.
Yeah.
Because it just gets nasty sometimes halfway through winter and stuff. But it was nice to be outside today and see people walking their dogs
wasn't
and their
it,
kids
though,
playing.
And not only that, with, you know, temperatures in the upper 50s.
Yeah.
That certainly was a
gorgeous
was a boost.
Yes. It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
All right, a little history, Dave, and our new segment. By the way, Bill Curtis will be doing our new segment opening. He's doing that the next time he comes in, and it's This Is History. Is what we're calling this little baby.
You replaced me with Bill Curtis? That's impressive.
You should be
honored, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, am I going to see you later this morning?
Oh no, he's not producing Dean
till next
today.
Week.
Oh,
yeah,
next
he
week
starts
okay.
next week.
All
yeah,
right. All right.
But I don't think Dean's in today. I think Jim Toronto's in.
Oh, okay.
I think Dean's in Washington actually, or somewhere. He's out of town. So I think Jim Toronto's going to be here in this morning.
Okay,
there you have it. 1845,
nobody
Edgar
tells
Allan.
Me
you know now. Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven was first published in 1845. That's the earliest date I have. 1880, Thomas Edison patents the electric incandescent lamp. 1898, the first auto insurance policy was issued in the United States by Travelers Insurance Company. in 1898. There was a lot of accidents back then. If you ever read the automotive history and people driving around in cars, I mean, it was so new to everybody. You know, it would be hitting, you'd be hitting horses and stuff too on the street. I swear to God, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I came across a document some years back. We're very fortunate in our family to have little memoirs that people have written going back well over 100 years. And my great-grandfather wrote a little autobiographical thing and mentioned that as a young man, he was privileged to be in the age of the automobile.
Yeah.
You know, think he was born well before the automobile around.
Right.
So when he was around, 30 or so, it was huge to be, we don't even think about it anymore.
No.
But when you're moving around in a vehicle, not pulled by an animal.
Yeah.
That's why they call them horseless carriages.
But a lot of people couldn't afford a car. He might have gotten a car when he was in his 30s because that was the first time. It's the same thing with television. People didn't get televisions right away, even though they came out in the late 40s. There's some homes that didn't have it till the 1960s. They're still,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
1920, former Ford Motor Company executive Henry Leland launched the Lincoln Motor Company, which he later sold back to Ford. 1924, ice cream cone rolling machine was patented by Carl Taylor, the ice cream cone that we know today. 1936, first players elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy, is it Mathewson? Matheson and Walter Johnson. Those were the first players elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1936. 1942, first U.S. force in Europe during World War II. We went ashore in Ireland, in 1942. 1956, Elvis Presley's first television appearance. It was not Ed Sullivan. It was called the Dorsey Brothers Stage Show on ABC. Let's take a little listen to that.
We have a nice show lined up, ladies and gentlemen, and the next young man we're going to introduce has made a fabulous success throughout the country doing one-nighters and working in nightclubs. He's been causing quite a sensation here on stage show these last few weeks, and we're bringing him back right now to repeat a number he did a few weeks ago called Tutti Frutti. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Elvis Presley!
Blop, bop, loom, blop, bam, boom, tutti, frutti. Oh, Rudy, tutti, frutti. Oh, Rudy, tutti, frutti. Oh, Rudy, tutti, frutti. Oh, Rudy, tutti, frutti. Oh, Rudy. Bop, bop, loom, blop, bam, boom. I got a gal named Sue.
And of course, when he was on Sullivan, they blocked his waist because they didn't want to show him.
That was a little too risque.
It was a little too risque at the time.
I had forgotten about that he was actually on that. The Dorsey brothers, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, were the brothers that he was on that show.
Yep, that was the first appearance ever on television.
Or prior to the Sullivan appearance.
Now, how old would he have been? How old would he have been?
Oh.
Like today, Joe. Because I think it would have been 90, maybe, 90s?
Oh, you mean if he were alive today?
Yeah, Joey's looking at that. He's doing the math right now.
He was 42 when he died.
Isn't that amazing when you think about that part?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Joey's coming in. 82.
82.
He could have been still around. He probably would have.
Well, you never know.
Never know.
Of course, with rock and rollers.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. 67. We talked a little bit about this last week. The Chicago blizzard struck Chicago with a record 23 inches of snow, causing 800 buses and 50,000 automobiles to be abandoned around the city. And this was kind of a newsreel that was still being done at the time about the Chicago blizzard. Let's take a listen.
The windy city of Chicago is white as well as windy, battered by a furious winter storm which dumped 2 feet of snow across the Midwest. 68 deaths were traced to the blizzard. 10-foot drifts were a common sight after the 29-hour snowfall which brought this giant city to a standstill. Some 10,000 cars, buses, and trucks were abandoned on the streets and highways. Train and airline operations were halted, some for several days. There was widespread looting, and many fires broke out.
I wasn't born yet. It was...
I know you weren't.
It was July of that year. I was around for the blizzard
July.
Of 79. Yeah, I was born in July of 67.
Oh, you were born in July. Okay, I was going to say the blizzard wasn't in July.
I'll be 50 this year, the big 5-0.
Oh, the big 5-0. Well,
5-0.
This is the 50th anniversary of the big snow.
Yep, the big snow.
I was in sixth grade, and I remember the morning starting out just kind of cloudy, you know, nothing major at all. I remember we could walk to school.
Yeah.
And soon after we got to school, it started snowing.
Okay.
And it started snowing a little harder and a little harder. What was amazing was between 9 and they let us go home around noon, 1 o'clock, there had to have been 10 to 12 inches
wow.
on the ground already. It was just unbelievable.
When I've lived here all my life, except I spent like 3 or 4 years in New York, and I spent a couple years in Minneapolis. And my first year in Minneapolis, excuse me, it was in 1989 or 1990. People were riding their bikes to work in the morning, and by nighttime, by 7 o'clock at night, there was 18 inches on the ground and building. This was in 1990.
I
lived in Minneapolis, and the next morning when we woke up. And I had friends coming in from out of town, and they made it through. The next morning, there was 20-some inches on the ground total. And people, I saw them going to the grocery store, because I was trying to trek to the grocery store because I had no groceries because I was an idiot and I was a kid. And people were in their skis, and they were using their skis to get to the grocery store. It was wild. All right, 1973. Do you know the theme to this song?
That's Barnaby Jones.
That music, when I was always listening to that with Buddy Ebsen, it was 1973 that it debuted this time, that many years ago.
A Quinn Martin production.
But the theme was always so...
A Quinn Martin production.
There you go.
Buddy Ebsen. Also starring Lee
Merriweather.
Catwoman.
Mark Shera.
Whatever. Okay.
With guest stars, Hillary Thompson.
Ooh, she's good.
Alice Pearson.
Ooh, she's nasty.
Martin Cove.
Ooh.
Julie Hill.
Has been.
Jordan Rhodes.
It was always just so serious. I almost laugh when it was on. It was like, dun, 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 dun. You know, so serious. 1970.
That was that actually was a successful run. But
oh yeah,
I hate to say this, but each and every time I watched Barnaby Jones, I couldn't help but think of Jed Clampett.
Jed Clampett, exactly. Oh yeah, he's very serious in this role. Absolutely. Oh yeah, Beverly Hillbillies. Absolutely. 1974, Good Times.
From Television City in Hollywood. Good
time. Now that was a spinoff. That was Norman Lear. What was the spinoff of?
Good Times.
Yeah.
The Jeffersons?
Maud.
Maud.
Because Florida was Maud's maid or something on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Classic. Let's get J.J. Walker on the show. All right, 76, Laverne and Shirley spun off from Happy Days. And let me tell you, this show, it was literally a guest appearance on Happy Days that happened in the fall. It was Gary Marshall's sister, Penny. And Cindy, and they were such a hit that literally ABC said in 2 weeks after it aired, we're going to give you your own show.
Do their own show. And for a while, it was number one.
Happy Days was number one, and then they took over that slot. Yeah. They were kind of the Lucy and Ethel of a different generation,
that's
right?
That's a very good way of putting it, yes.
Yeah, of the 70s, yeah. I it was a funny show. I thought it was a great show.
I liked...
Especially the early days.
Yeah, oh, sure. I liked, was it Squiggy?
Squiggy? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 77 was the first broadcast of Roots, the miniseries.
That
which
was huge,
It was massive. Everybody watched it.
Everybody did.
I think I was 12 years old. No, I was 10 years old. And we sat down. It was like part of our, you know, when we talked about it in school is, no, we're, you know, we want you to watch this and we're going to talk about it the next day.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure you did. And we did as well. I was, in college and we were talking about it. And not only the fact that about the, the program itself, but you mentioned everybody watching it.
Yeah.
Up until the last episode of MASH. That was the largest watched program.
Yeah, exactly. Right before that time. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's take a little listen about the miniseries itself.
Tonight, we present a landmark in television entertainment. Roots, the true story Alex Haley uncovered in his 12 years search across the 7 generations of his ancestry. After 2 years of production, we present this incredible saga in an epic motion picture.
And anybody who is anybody, as far as a star of the time,
is the was television in this event piece. Of the year.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, Ed Asner, Robert Reed. I mean, it was
all
everybody you watched on television.
There in the 70s.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. I think that it was instrumental in putting ABC up as to the number one network as well.
Yeah, they really did. It really did. Absolutely. And the miniseries in general.
Right.
Yeah.
Because for at least a decade after, you know, miniseries was always a ratings getter for any network.
You know, I actually bought one of the miniseries that I remembered as a kid. I just saw it on Amazon, and I bought it. I have not watched it yet. It was called Backstairs at the White House, and it was about the people that worked there for generations, because there's a lot of people that have been there through five presidents.
Different administrations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to throw that on and watch that. 1986, this is, we have to talk about something positive about football in Chicago. It was Super Bowl 20. The Chicago Bears beat the Patriots 46-10 in New Orleans. And do you remember who the MVP was?
I do not.
Richard Dent.
Dent. Okay. I was gonna say it. I know it wasn't the refrigerator.
No.
And
no.
I knew it wasn't Walter Payton because,
right.
Really, Walter Payton didn't get the score in the Super Bowl
game. Right.
I remember that, the Super Bowl shuffle.
Of course. And then, of course, it's also the anniversary of the Blizzard of 79, which is the one I lived through. I think this is this Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson? Who is this on this one, Joe?
I don't remember.
All right, let's
so we
take
can
a listen.
Out.
We'll find out in a minute. All right, go
5
ahead.
Days ago, the city of there Chicago and its environs were hit with one of nature's little surprises, a major snowstorm, a devastating blizzard of winter that virtually strangled the city and left its citizens struggling to cope in over 20 inches of snow. Only once before in the city's modern history had such an accumulation blasted the area. That was 1967. Now as then, and try as hard as it could, the city could barely keep its lifelines open. Side streets still unpassable. Public transportation snarled, expressways buried, O'Hare Airport closed for one of the few times in its history. This is turning out to be Chicago's winter of discontent, all right. With so much snow on the streets and expressways, we're wondering where to put it.
And it also changed the dynamics of who became mayor in this town.
Yes, it did.
Bolandic was gone. He was gone, and no sure of that. That was the biggest.
And from that day to this, any succeeding mayor has made sure that major thoroughfares are plowed.
Yeah. I mean, it literally, there was no doubt in any Chicagoan's mind that he wasn't going back into office.
Yeah,
it was
an
over.
interesting election cycle then. Yes,
it absolutely was. Yeah.
That's very true, though. The 79 blizzard, I have a very vivid memory of.
Me too.
Being cooped up in the radio station where I was working for about 3 days. Yeah.
Where was it? What station?
WJOB in Hammond.
Okay.
And I was called in on that. It was a Saturday afternoon when that storm hit, and I didn't leave the station until Monday afternoon.
Wow. There was only one time here that it was nasty. It was Super Bowl Sunday of 2 years ago where it was a blizzard overnight, and I ended up just walking down to the Intercontinental. Actually, I went on Expedia and got it for like $69, which was crazy. I just didn't want to drive in it. I went and took a nap over there and then got up and went home. So there you have it. All right, Walter Jacobson coming up next, 720 WGN.